fighting soldiers from the sky. Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day. Courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 31st day of October. Purpose tip of the day, I want to encourage all of you, when you park your vehicle this evening, before you park it, make sure the fuel's topped off. Your car, your truck, your motorcycle, just make sure the fuel's topped off. You may wake up the following morning and find out everything is different. That happened to us, of course, on the 11th day of September, 2001. That's your prepper tip of the day. My patient Wayne in the green room, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff is a gentleman who began a quest more than 20 years ago to understand, comprehend, and quite frankly become very expert and knowledgeable in all the many ways the international communist conspiracy poses a threat to the United States, to our way of life, to our very lives. And his website is jrnyquist.com. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, I got something I just ran across here at Breitbart, Dateline yesterday, about 21 hours ago. International officials with the United Nations Refugee Agency say President Trump must allow a caravan of Central Americans into the United States to seek asylum. Now, I know, and I know you know, Jeff, that the United Nations is a communist conspiracy, that the original American delegation in San Francisco to the first meeting of the United Nations, I think it was about 50 men and women. I believe all but 3 of them were card-carrying communists, weren't they, sir?
Well, Alger Hiss was the acting general secretary, I believe, at that first meeting in San Francisco of the United Nations. And Alger Hiss was the famous Soviet agent and member of the State Department.
Right, right. So yeah. Here we are, 70 or so years later. Well, the first meeting was about 1947, wasn't it? I believe somewhere in there.
It was 1945.
45, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at about 73 years ago. And the communists are still running it. And I know President Trump could give a tinker's damn about what the United Nations thinks or believes. But that doesn't surprise me or surprise you, does it, sir?
No, it doesn't. It seems that Mr. Trump has their number, and he knows what it's about. So, and that's why the media, who believe all this nonsense, either innocently or not so innocently, and spread it, have done a great disservice to Americans, because they want to say that if we are against the United Nations, of course we're against all these other nations, and
we're against peace.
We beat such rate.
We're against peace. And we're racist. We're barbarians.
Yes.
And
yeah. Boy, how evil we are. I mean,
it's got to be. Absolutely. President Trump wants to do what every other country does, which is not allow illegal aliens inside their borders. There's nothing extraordinary or exceptional or racist about that. That's what countries are supposed to do.
Yeah, of course, but if we do it, we're racist.
Exactly, and only us, Well, yeah. I'm hearing that there's three caravans now. The two more recent ones apparently have engaged in some violent behavior. The first one didn't, that we're aware of. There's a note at Steve Quayle's website this morning postulating that they may be headed to Tijuana, which would be another 1,000 miles on the trip, which if they're walking it is not going to happen. They would have to have some kind of transportation to go 2,000 miles. Not many people could have the endurance or the desire to do that. But the postulation is that Governor Brown would make sure they got across the border, declare a crisis, and then ask for United Nations peacekeepers to come in and take care of the crisis. That's not some wild-eyed speculation, is it, Jeff?
No. The California state government is so radical that we could practically call it a quasi or neo-communist government. Its only restriction is it's restricted by the federal and state constitutions. But if for a moment it didn't have those constraints, it would behave every bit as the Soviet government behaved back when Lenin was in power.
That's right. Well, if you live anywhere on any of those southern states, I think they're all at risk. Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. I believe they're all at risk for different reasons. McAllister, Texas is the closest, or McAllen, Texas, I mean, I believe it's McAllen, is the closest point for the caravan to arrive. There's other places that might be more handier because of highways and rail transportation. But I would say the entire southern border has some percentage risk, doesn't it, Jeff?
Yes, the entire southern border is at risk, and of course, this challenge, they're using it for propaganda purposes, for some kind of indoctrination, and also for some kind of demonstration. And I have the feeling that it has some other meaning that is going to carry forward in time. Russia and China, you may have seen the recent headlines where one of the top arms control people in Russia said that Russia is getting ready for war with the United States.
It's there are statements being made publicly in China to prepare for war, and Russia, both. These are serious men in both these countries that don't engage in political silliness like American politicians do. Anything they do at that level is done with serious intent. We may or may not understand that intent, but there is a serious intent and a serious agenda behind all major things that these leaders of these two countries do, isn't there, Jeff?
Yeah, what's interesting to me, what I think is most sinister, is that, you know, for 20 years I've been publicly warning people that Russia and China intend to wage war against the United States at some point in the future, and that that their preparations were marked by the supposed decline, you know, collapse of communism, by which Russia gained access to Western markets and technology for which they, with which they could build a truly modern military with fifth generation weapons. And I, when I was saying that 20 years ago, people were saying, ah, you're crazy. Russia's a backward country. They could never do that. And until I was blue in the face. And now they've done it. And now they're saying, now when I was saying, people say, oh, no, Russia would never attack America. Why? You know, and now that they're saying it, they are saying it. Nobody pays attention to them either. And they have so propagandized and brainwashed our people that they can, in broad daylight, say, we're coming for you, and we're building the weapons so that their people understand that war is coming. But they have so brainwashed our people that they won't even believe it when it comes out of the horse's mouth. They won't even
believe
it.
That's right. They won't. It's called normalcy bias is what that's called. The psychological term is normalcy bias. And that's a big part of the American psyche is normalcy bias, which in normal times is fine. It's good to think and believe that you can be 25 years old and take out a 30-year mortgage and things are going to be great. That's wonderful. But when it comes to geopolitical matters, it can be very deadly, can't it, Jeff?
Yeah, it is deadly because these are not normal people, and they don't want the world to be normal.
No, they want to be in control.
They want to own the world.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. It's a mindset that's hard to comprehend. We got our first caller on hold here, Jeff. We've got Jerry in Texas with some chickens in the background. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John and Jeff. I just want to weigh in on a comment. If they bump up against McAllen and then turn west, if you look at it, I believe it's going to be closer to 1,500 miles to get to Tijuana. And that is some very, very desolate country across there. Very few towns, very little infrastructure. So if they're going to go by foot, look for them about July 4th, 2019.
Well, they're not going to, these people aren't going to walk that distance. That's not going to happen. There's going to have to be transportation provided of some sort, which the powers that be can certainly come up with the trucks and trains or whatever they need to do that.
The logistics is still pretty
Well, I agree. I mean, even with train or truck transport, you're talking about thousands of pounds of food, thousands of gallons of water every day to transport these people.
Yeah.
It's a massive logistical undertaking.
Yeah, food, water, sanitation, the whole spectrum of just, well, you've been in the Army, you've... you know better than I do what it takes to move a good-sized group of people. But I've traveled from the Austin area to San Diego and L.A. and back several times. And once you get about 100 miles outside of Austin, San Antonio, there is nothing but mesquites, cactus, and rattlesnakes, and a few jackrabbits. So you get to... El Paso, and when you leave El Paso, the next really big metropolitan area is Phoenix. I mean, it's long, long ways across there. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that, add my two cents in.
Appreciate it, Jerry.
Thank you for taking my call. Y'all have a good day.
Okay, thank you. The call number is 800-313-9443. There's a term I know you've heard, Jeff, that amateurs talk tactics, professionals talk logistics. You've heard that before, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah.
And,
some of these things can't be done that easily.
No. And when I started making semi-annual trips, road trips from St. Louis to Metro Seattle, the first couple of times I remarked on the air here how you don't appreciate the size of the United States or America until you make road trips. And this is a really big country. And and you drive 2,000 miles in one direction and come back. you have an appreciation. And there's parts in the interior of this country where you can drive literally for dozens of miles and not have any human activity of any consequence in terms of a place where you can get a room for the night, a restaurant, things of that nature. Vast areas where there's almost no people and almost no economic activity of anything, of any consequence. It's a really big country, isn't it, Jeff?
Well, the Mojave Desert, Southern California, if you've ever driven across it, it is really huge and it's bleak. And it's like the face of the moon.
Right, right. And South Dakota. I recall driving across the state of South Dakota at night, and it was like driving across the moon. You're driving 70 miles an hour. You don't see any human habitation at night. No dusk to dawn lights, no houses, no anything for mile after mile after mile. And the terrain did look like what I would think the moon looked like to me back then. I'm sure not much has changed. Regardless, the caravans, they're being funded. There's serious funding behind this to provide logistics for these people, what may end up being transportation. They've got about 6 days to make it the Texas border before the election. Oh, they're 5 days now. If they're going to try to pull off anything before the election, it's not much time for them to get there and to set up what they're going to set up, isn't it, Jeff?
Well, my concern would be is that perhaps whoever's organizing this wants there to be a tragedy of some kind that they can then blame on Mr. Trump for not reaching out and helping them across the border. You know, that could be
I agree that's a possibility, Jeff, on one hand. On the other, I believe they would want a more direct connection to what appears to be United States government activity, where we have the appearance of either U.S. military, the Texas Rangers, Border Patrol, murdering innocent people. That's what they really want. So there's a direct relationship that can be pointed to. Whether it's true or not, that's what they're looking for, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Army is getting ready to do something, so, you know.
Well, there's no issue with Posse Comitatus. Posse Comitatus is designed to have not to have the U.S. military used against American citizens. That's the purpose of Posse Comitatus. That's not the issue here. Not at all. Not at all. And then that's a...
Yeah.
That's a distraction. It's not based on reality. It's a very legitimate purpose for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard to defend the borders of the United States. Of course, that's why they're there in the first place. So that's a very legitimate and legal use of any branch of the military.
You know, John, I should mention my website. I've got new articles up on my website. We should talk a little bit about the
let's
the
do that. We got a break coming up, but we'll get started. And it's titled. Yeah. Well, you've got is it two articles?
There's three of them there.
Three. Okay, I saw at least two. Well, we'll get started. Let's go from the top and work our way down. The first one is titled "An Interview with Brazilian Writer Olavo de Carvalho."
Carvalho is how they pronounce it. Olavo de Carvalho. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my hillbilly tongue can't twist that many ways at one time. But well, tell us about the article. It posted at the Epoch Times.
Yeah. Olavo de Carvalho is the most influential conservative, and at one time was the only conservative published famous writer in Brazil. And he had predicted for many years that the Workers' Party was a communist party, that they were going to try to destroy the country, and he was right.
Okay. I just got a heads up from my friend Tim Spencer that Fox News is reporting some of the caravan being transported by private buses. Here's our break. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 31st of October, visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com. We're talking about the three recent articles that he's posted his website at jrnyquist.com. Did we finish the first one discussing it yet, Jeff, before we move on?
Well, of course, as you know, or maybe you don't, Jair Bolsonaro won the election in
Brazil.
On Sunday, and as should have happened, you know, there was probably a large amount of cheating. He probably won by a lot more than what the numbers showed, but he was just too massively popular. And before the election, I had a chance to interview a guy who is credited as his intellectual mentor. And as a guy who really warned Brazil years ago about this attempted communist takeover by the Workers' Party and by the Sao Paulo Forum. And it was funny. The interview is interesting because, well, Olavo is always interesting to talk to. But on Saturday morning, I called one of Bolsonaro's top political advisors and asked him, you know, what he thought was going to happen in the election. And we talked a bit, and he said that something that I didn't really know, how the counter-revolution or the anti-communist movement got started in Brazil, and this will fascinate you. The communists, of course, had used the Workers' Party as a front to take over the country, to claim they were middle of the road, just slightly left of center, you know, and
right.
Like we see with the Democratic Party in the United States. And they basically won three elections. They governed the country for a decade, more than a decade, really. And they believed that they had control. They believed that they could flip the country to like Venezuela. And so what they did is they went to the people of the country, poor people, and they gave them communist flags and banners, and they were going to have a giant demonstration. And what the people did is they went out into the street like they were told, but instead of waving the banners, they burned them. And that was the beginning of the communists being hoisted by their own petard in Brazil.
I love it.
And what they did is they made banners. They made their own banners. And you see, because Olavo had been warning them for 2 decades that this was going to happen, that the Workers' Party were really communists. And the Workers' Party finally proved to the Brazilian people that they were communists. And so these massive crowds of people, they put up banners saying Olavo was right.
Really?
There were 500,000 at a time in the street, yes, doing this.
That's great.
And, of course, this is what changed Brazil. I mean, the people of Brazil have woken up in a way that I really wish the American people would wake up. They understood who their enemy was. They knew it was communism. They knew it was a wolf in sheep's clothing, what the supposed left-of-center party, the Workers' Party, was. And they have thrown it off now, and they're beginning the process of dismantling the communist takeover of their country.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, is it time to move on to the next?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure.
The title, the next article, The Mystery of General George C. Marshall. Quite frankly, I'm no student of World War II to any great extent, but he's always been kind of an enigma to me.
Yes, to me as well, and I got interested in it through a journalist friend of mine who revealed some things that she uncovered while researching, and I thought, you know, there's something here. I need to look at this more. And boy, when you scratch the surface on General Marshall, you find that that Joe McCarthy was right about Marshall. McCarthy wrote a book about Marshall called Retreat from Victory. And what I do in this piece is I go into one very, very frightening detail about Marshall, the fact that Marshall lied to Congress. He committed felony.
He gave testimony under oath. It was lies. That's a crime.
Yeah,
yes.
He gave testimony under oath that was false. He gave false testimony in his testimony about Pearl Harbor. And the article is about how he gave false testimony. And of course, his testimony was really kind of shocking to some of the politicians there that day. He gave the testimony actually on December 7th, 1945. Which was exactly 4 years to the day after Pearl Harbor was attacked.
Right.
And his testimony is so bizarre, I had to, I put word for word things he said that are really quite incredible for a public official to say.
Amazing.
And it reminds me of Hillary Clinton's testimony on the email scandal, the email server scandal. There is a lot of, I don't remember, I can't remember, I have to try to reconstruct. But here in this case, we're talking about the event of Pearl Harbor. We're talking about the chief of staff of the U.S. Army, who is unlikely to forget any details, especially since he famously has a photographic memory.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Amazing.
Yeah.
We got a caller here. We'll take right before the bottom of the hour. Paul in New Jersey. Good morning, Paul.
Gentlemen, the people orchestrating this caravan are, you know, their timing is a little off. What they should have planned for is to have all those poor refugees on the border at Christmas time. Then it would have been perfect. And
well,
of course,
possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, thank you for the call. We got a bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everyone.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 31st of October. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. If you haven't been there for 2 weeks, well, it's all different. As of 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, new and improved, easier to navigate. A lot of interesting articles there, things that will inform you and educate you. Articles written by people who know what they're talking about, such as the British entomologist. She knows her stuff, and there's a couple of articles there involving flying insects that affect all of us, quite frankly. Also, my website, of course, you'll find energy cleaners for sale. Most Americans, most of the time, have issues with arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain. An energy cleaner will help. Most Americans have issues with sleep. Energy Cleaner will help there also. Only $285, shipping included to American zip codes. Keep in mind the following. I offer from me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do, a 90-day money-back guarantee. So check out the Energy Cleaner. It's a marvelous healing device. And you can order it right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. The mattress pads that go with it, it's a great combination. Just put the mattress pad on your bed, plug it into the energy cleaner, and soak up that energy 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you'll be very glad you did. You can use MasterCard, Visa. You can pay with PayPal, the most secure way to make any payment online. You can send me a check or money order. My address is right there at thelibertyman.com. And I have a toll-free order line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com. Talking about the articles he's just recently published at the Epoch Times, which are also posted at his website at jrnyquist.com. Did we finish talking about the mystery of George C. Marshall there, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, people should read the article. But,
okay. All right.
We're still, and
here's why it's important. We're still living the consequences of these things that took place 70, 73 years ago, aren't we, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. We are in the same basic era where things like this are continuing to happen. So it's very important to understand, and it's the context for everything, really.
Okay. And the next article is titled U.S. Senate Lacked Cardinal Virtues in Kavanaugh Hearings. Tell us about that, Jeff.
Well, yeah, you know, you get the four cardinal virtues, courage, justice, temperance, and prudence. And, of course, three of those are missing in the Kavanaugh hearing. There's not justice, there's not prudence, because they are accepting the testimony of someone whose veracity is not known by them. And, of course, it's not... It's early in the morning and I'm about to have my coffee, but
anyway,
three of the virtues are missing in the Senate, and I go into the details of what they did and how it was completely wrong in terms of this was not the way somebody who was, you know, a Senate, the United States Senate, it's an august body, it's supposed to have dignity, it's supposed to have the virtues. You know, these are statesmen. It's supposed to be statesmanship. And really, it's disappointing to see that this circus was allowed to go forward in the Kavanaugh hearing. And I think people were quite disgusted. It's on people's minds, I think, now, today, when we go to the polls and vote. This is when most people are going to vote, is today. Or no, I'm sorry.
Well, you can vote absentee ballot, and of course, the actual election day is next Tuesday, the sixth day.
That first
series of hearings in that larger hearing room was disrupted multiple times by protesters. That was completely unacceptable. The security people, I think, took far too long and tolerated these people far too much. The word circus is a very descriptive term for that, what took place those first series of hearings, weren't they?
Yes, and how does a man get his reputation back once you have engaged in this kind of circus, which is on TV, everybody's seeing it?
I know. It was totally uncalled for, improper, imprudent. The kind of thing I would expect in a small city council meeting, possibly, where things get out of control. Not the United States Senate. It's totally uncalled for, totally unacceptable for that to take place and be allowed to take place. Now, if I was in charge of security and given latitude, I would have made sure that kind of thing would not have happened, but I wasn't in charge. Very unfortunate circumstance. But it's over, and Brett Kavanaugh and his family, I believe, will persevere, and they will overcome these very bizarre matters that took place. They will be fine. They'll be okay. And hopefully the people in charge of the United States Senate will have enough sense to not allow this kind of thing to happen again. What do you think?
I hope that there's been some learning. I think the people, you know, I think the people that saw it, there was a definite energizing and unifying of the Republican side after the hearings. And I think they are the party that shows more consideration for decorum than the Democrats. So maybe...
And let's talk about that a little bit, because decorum is being rapidly lost in this country. I don't get to the Missouri Supreme Court building very much, but the shocking difference between the decorum that takes place in the Missouri Supreme Court building and the general public, and it is in fact shocking. All the women that work there must wear dresses. They're not allowed to wear pantsuits or jeans or anything other than a dress or a skirt, properly attired. The men all wear coats and ties that are employed there. Once you're outside the door, you find men and women wearing pajamas to their place of employment these days. It's shocking what goes on in daily commerce in the United States. There's a restaurant I frequently visit, and one of the employees there, a female employee, she wears pajamas to work. And I find it shocking and disheartening. How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, when I started seeing this, and I think the first time I saw it was about 12 years ago, people going to, you know, public places wearing pajama bottoms, you know, wearing clothing that is not really proper clothing to go outside your house. And I was stunned, and I puzzled after about it ever since. But I think it somehow fits with the kind of disassociation that we have today, where people no longer take responsibility or see themselves as actual participants with responsibility in society.
Well, it began formally with something called casual farting. Casual farting. I first noticed it, I'm going to say, around 1980. Sometime in the early 1980s, something called casual farting, where it was publicly promoted that men and women, men who typically wear a coat and tie to work 5 days a week, could not wear a coat and tie on Fridays. And women who typically wear a dress or a skirt to work could wear possibly jeans or a pantsuit outfit to work. It began somewhere in there, and I don't recall exactly where, but sometime in that time. But casual Friday became casual Tuesday, became casual Monday, became to the point where every day was casual day. It was a matter that came down over a period of time. It's attire means something. It really does. You notice when you watch the newscasters on the various broadcasts, the men wear a coat and tie. The women wear a nice professional looking dress or skirt and blouse combination. And it looks like 1966 in Hawaii, they began something called Aloha Friday. So it goes back more than half a century. I was not aware it went back that fast. Of course, that was Hawaii, and it's the tropics, and that doesn't surprise me. But I frequently talk about how, in my opinion, T-shirts are underwear, not outerwear. And I don't wear T-shirts in public. Do you wear T-shirts in public, Jeff?
No. Not without a shirt over them.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, of course, that's what I mean. It's underwear. Right.
Yeah.
I can't point to a communist conspiracy behind that. I have no evidence of that. But it certainly fits with their agenda overall to have a downgrading of civility in our society. That does fit their agenda, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, right now it's exactly their agenda. That's what they're talking about. Yes, absolutely. It is decorum and dress is, of course, part of manners. And, of course, civility. You're, in a sense, we don't wear clothes necessarily for ourselves, although we can. We wear them for the sake of other people. You know, we don't walk around naked because we don't want to embarrass other people with our nakedness, right. You know.
Well, embarrassing ourselves, depending on the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
Well, it's kind of ironic because within the communist countries themselves, they have strict dictates for decorum, don't they?
Yes, and you will notice if you go to some of those countries, the people are, well, a good example is sexual mores in China. You know, if two young people kiss in public on a park bench in China, people will be scandalized and they'll walk up to them and they'll shame them and say, you have to stop that right now.
Amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing. Well, of course, you know, it's hard, at least sitting here on the other side of the planet, it's hard to tell the difference between traditional Chinese mores and values and what the communist government imposes. That would be difficult for me to do from 12,000 miles away.
Yeah, well, the communists, of course, want their own subjects to be obedient and easily manageable, and it's sort of this bad behavior stuff is for the West. It's for the disintegration of our society, where their society, they want to be able to economically compete and field armies and be successful. And although being communist really is a big greatly inhibits their success because the communist ideas are, quite frankly, crazy when it comes to directing a country or running an economy. Those ideas, they nonetheless want those ideas to succeed in their countries, and they know that certain behaviors are going to cause failure. So promoting them here in the West, in the United States especially, is going to be to their advantage. This is why you don't see the phenomenon in Russia and China of promoting homosexuality or homosexual marriage that you have in the United States.
So this is one of the ironic things about this. I don't believe we need to peel back too many layers to find communists advocating abortion, advocating homosexual behaviors being normal and homosexual marriage on one hand. And on the other, the same communists in communist-controlled countries absolutely prohibit those things, except abortion, of course. They do encourage abortion in communist countries.
Yeah, it's very interesting that Stalin was a little bit different in that. In the 1930s, they basically peeled back abortion and started to stop it. Stalin didn't want abortion. And that's very interesting. It was when Khrushchev came in that they went full bore on the abortion, like they did when Lenin was there. So that's a little interesting ripple in there. And, of course, in China, they have a terrible overpopulation problem. So they have a different kind of society than we do, the one-child policy. So you can imagine the way abortion's used. This is why they have this huge disproportion between men and women in China, I think it's a greater than 12% difference in the number of men and women than the number of men than there are of women. But it might be. Do you know this figure exactly?
I don't know the figure offhand, but I've been told privately that the People's Liberation Army has been promising American brides for Chinese soldiers for quite a long time to help motivate these men to do what they're told to do.
Yeah. Well, we are their target number one. So, yeah.
Well, these Chinese men probably have some rather unrealistic expectations of dealing with an American woman, don't they?
I would say so, yeah. and no matter what the advantages they might have from a surprise nuclear attack, I don't think it's going to be very easy for them once they get here, even if they've bombed us.
No. There's more guns than people in this country. There's no country on the planet mm-hmm. that has more guns than people. Now, granted, the anti-gun liberals don't have firearms, but that just means more for the rest of us. Here's our last break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back. Let's jump right back. Jared Moore here on Wednesday, the 31st of October, visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.com. 3 new articles posted there, all worthy of your time. They're also posted at the Epoch Times, which is a great publication also. So check out those articles. Jeff, we got about 3 minutes here, sir.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about the defense of this country and gun control. I thought I would mention that a Russian defector that I worked with at one point made a comment that that the initial invasion that the Russians had planned in the 1980s of the United States, that they believed that because of gun ownership in the U.S., that the entire first echelon of 10 divisions, paratroops and Marines, Soviet paratroops and Marines, would be basically neutralized by U.S. citizens with guns. That, of course, those would be light troops that would be to secure airfields and ports, and that that they had no illusions about the ability of the American people to resist, and they were very concerned about the casualties, especially to these elite formations. And there was a Soviet author named Colonel Skurdo who wrote extensively about this in a book called The People, the Commander, and the Army, which was written for the education of, Soviet military officers. And the book is striking in its description of partisan warfare and basically hints that the kind of warfare that the main enemy, the United States, would be capable of would be outstrip anything seen in World War II.
Really?
It's fascinating. Yeah.
It is fascinating. What's the title of the book again?
The Army, the People, and the Commander. Yeah, the Army, the People, and the Commander. And it's by Colonel Skurdo, S-K-I-R-D-O. He was one of the instructors in the Soviet military academies back in the 60s and 70s. And, of course, I'd asked Colonel Stanislav Lunev about it, and he had been, before he came to the United States, he had been skeptical of these claims about Americans putting up such resistance. But he said America has a spirit that other countries, many other countries, do not have.
Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was interesting, too.
Yeah, and he was former KGB, wasn't he?
He was a GRU, Soviet Military Intelligence.
So oh, okay.
He was privy to their war plans. And it was interesting to talk to him about the war plans they had.
It sounds like it would be. Is he still alive?
I do not know. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. And so I don't know. His health has been bad. He had cancer years ago, and he got remission, but it came back. So,
Jeff, thanks, sir. Appreciate it. We'll have you back next Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now while you can, any firearms, ammunition. Never ever get guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless America.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.